weather report on all day long because we have kids down in Florida. And it's always hurricane season is just a nightmare for me. You remember last year they evacuated up here for the fair, same week. And this time it wasn't quite as direct a hit. But when I'm watching all this weather report, I'm just getting more anxious by the minute. It's like I should have just shut it off. But I was like glued to everything that was happening. And I realized after a while, I am being bound by fear. That's really what it was. And even though it's not as imminent danger as it was even last year, I'm just hearing all that just bound me with fear. And I walked in the kitchen, I opened the Bible, and I said, Lord, I need some solace. Uh-huh. Yeah. Have you ever played Bible roulette? Just open the Bible and expect God to lead you there, okay? So I've been reading in the epistles this week, and this scripture actually comes from Paul admonishing people to be righteous. But to me, it became a comfort. It's 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, quotation marks, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Uh-huh. Yes. Quotation marks. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Have you ever had the Holy Ghost hit you like an electric shock?
Yes.
It is amazing to me that people who have the Holy Ghost have similar experiences like that. And when I read that scripture, it was like this little shock came and hit my brain and said, there it is. That's what I'm sending to you. All right. And it is amazing that our intelligent creator can invade our brains and change our thought patterns.
Yes.
That is amazing to me.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And that is exactly what happened from that little shock of the Holy Ghost and knowing that God sent me right there, changed my thought patterns. Uh-huh. It did. I didn't have to train my brain. You hear that all the time in coaching, business coaching. It was an immediate change in the way I thought.
Hallelujah.
I am so thankful for a God who intervenes, in our personal lives, in our bodies, in every way that is relevant to the way we live, God can intervene.
Amen.
And so I was reminded of a really old hymn that in the Pentecostal circles we don't sing very often. And it has to do with a song that was written about the sea. And so if you know this song, please sing it really loud because most of you will not. So if you're in the congregation, sing it loud. This is, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
It is well.
It is well with my soul.
Oh, shake somebody's hand. Tell them good to see you here at the first service. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of his glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, and peradventure for a good man some would even die. But God commendeth his love toward us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And much more than just being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath that through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but also the joy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to talk upon this morning about a change that probably has taken in most of our lives, if not all of us, throughout the years that we live for God. And so often we take things for granted. Too many times we are shaken because we forget of those things around about us, that we have a God that's going to provide and take care of us. When my wife started to give her testimony, I thought, oh boy, here goes 10, 15 minutes off my sermon. But, you know, we made it through that. But let's just look at this portion of Scripture, especially as we get down toward the end. And I'd like to point out just a few things. The subject today that I'm going to really be talking about is not just change, but also by the reason and the way that we are changed. Because there is a great importance of us understanding reconciliation. Amen. I have gone over this week in my mind, knowing that in a few days we're going to be voting on somebody to take over the helm of the church. And I'm praying that God would just greatly bless us through that. But there's probably more the congregation can do for the good of the cause of people coming in than for the people coming in due to our cause. Amen. If we've surrendered to something that is really not valuable to our soul and a conviction that we have very deep, amen, you could just bring somebody in that just gets discouraged or, you know, whatever it would be, because we've kind of sat back and relaxed and expect them to take charge of everything that is there. And there are a couple of things that approached me this week, and I was thinking about putting the three together, and I thought that's not going to really work, all three of them. But it is very important that we stay submitted and committed to God. Amen. And not lose track of that. And what we do, anything could happen. I mean, we hope is coming, but that's, you know, who knows what could happen in that way. We might have a hurricane. Amen. But something like that would happen. But it is important for us to have our relationship with God at a good level, especially when it comes to how we treat one another and we treat people in the world that we live in. And it's important that we lay that out and have a fear of God and a knowledge of God and do those things so that God could work through us in our lives. And so with that, there's another subject I'll just kind of leave lay there for a few minutes. I got to make sure I stay ahead of time. And maybe I can do some of that at the end. But when I looked at this portion of Scripture, I found, and reconciliation has always been, I think, a theme that I've enjoyed. It's something that we've just got to understand in our lives, that reconciliation brings us back into the favor of God, into the knowledge of God. If we look at these things that he has written down for us about the promises from verse 1 down to verse 9 through 9, we see that God has paid a great price for us, amen, and recognize that, and I believe given out, and things that we can think about today as we hear these things. He says, for if we were enemies, Amen. And that verse 10, for if we were enemies when we were reconciled unto God by the death of his son, and that was our status as far as our walk with God was, is that we were kind of in that enemy position. You remember those years? Amen. For some reason, I guess in the last week, I was thinking along the lines, and it never dawned on me how frustrated I was as a young man trying to get things to fit in order in my life, and it just wasn't working. And I remember a night that I was talking, even though it wasn't the night that I probably should have went to church, converted that night, but it at least started getting me thinking in the right area or in the right path to where I would have this understanding that God, something's got to be better than this. And I had it all figured out that it wasn't the God of my church. It wasn't the God of my grandma. It wasn't the God of my parents. Amen. That was all at fault. That, you know, it's me. We had good people, good friends that have come out of there. And many of our young ministers that were there over the years have come here and ministered here. And to know that God has brought us to the place to where it just has to get better. And I'm the only one that can really change it. Amen. You get stubborn and God can get stubborn because you're going to be stubborn and it's just not going to break down. But when we make up our minds that we're going to let the Lord begin to use us, I think there's a great blessing in our lives. And what better thing to be than when somebody comes into a church to know that, you know, you don't have, this is not a deadbeat society. It's not anything that we're overlooking, but we want to participate and we want to be involved in the things of God. And these things stood out to me for when we were enemies. Not when we were his friends, but when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's quite a price that our God had to pay. And even though we know that the oneness of God kind of gives us a strong, solid answer to that, many people would see that today and always trying to figure out the two and which one is which. Amen. But when we came to this, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And so the very essence of God, I believe, was heartbroken even when his son passed away. Though it was his flesh and his body, he saw beyond just that and was able to see into the hearts and the minds of people so that he could make the right moves, do the right things, and people could receive what they received of him. Then it says, and being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the same one that kind of we died for, now we have him back to life. Amen. And what a great reconciliation that is. Not only we, but also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom and by whom we have now received atonement. Amen. We've received that price of salvation to be paid for us and a free course to where that is what happened. Now, in the process of that, there is this reconciliation that's going on, that now God is on our side and we're on God's side. And all of us in this place have of a necessity to be on God's side. Amen. It's not about Brother Wells. It's not about Brother Davis. It's not about those things. It's just about the man of God who brings the word of God. And really what they're standing behind is the word more than the man. Especially if it's a good word. Everybody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we deal with these words. We're justified. We are reconciled. We have come to a place of atonement to where God is wanting to bless in our lives, and so we rejoice in that, and we have this great thing of salvation. Now, as I was thinking this week, I was wondering about how that, you know, we're going to face up before a judge. The judge in the scriptures quite often mentioned, and it means that I think that everything that is in the aspect, including you, used to be a song I hated singing in church. You know, you're wanting God to be around, and you know, and you're hoping that there's an all-seeing eye. And not so much that when we did those things wrong, that all-seeing eye came and put conviction in our heart and told us that we were lost, and God never patted me on the back and saying, you're a good boy, you're doing a fine job. Amen. You talk about chastising. He must have really loved me a lot. A whole lot. Because I have a whole lot more stories about him chastising me in those years than giving me the blessing of, you know, what he could do in my life. And so One of the problems that I will address today, and I don't mean it to be a problem, but we got to be very careful in the house of God and the church about our hold on judgment. Amen? And we are commanded enough. The scripture tells us, he says in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 12, that judge not, lest you be judged. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with that measure you meet, you shall measure it again. And as we stop there, we see that this judge has come to us, and I've written down here, there's not room for another judge around here. We are in an organization. We're in a body of people. We don't need another judge. We already have the best one that there is. And it's important that as we judge one another, that we judge one another fairly, that we consider ourselves and understand that every person, when it comes to even reconciliation, that's where our reconciliation begins to direct to, amen, is out of this world and out of sin and the tribulation of this world that we live in, and it's directed at God. He is our judge, and he is the one that can chastise us and make it hard on us. Now, Matthew chapter 5 and 21, it says, have you heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment? But I say unto you, the very whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, amen, he shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, thou shalt be in danger of hell fire. Amen. Raca actually comes from the term that what I've read is you're an idiot. I didn't like that scripture the first time I read it because I love to call people idiots. Amen. I still have a problem with that on occasion. Amen. But it says, thou fool, it shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 22. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave the altar and go, or leave thy gift at the altar and go by the way to the and be first reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer that gift. But don't go any further until you do this. And agree with thy adversary quickly. Deliver thee to the judge, lest he deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou hast cast into prison. And verily I say unto you, that thou shalt by in no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost thar, until you get the last penny saved. If you don't get it returned and give it back, then you're going to have to stay out there in that condition to where you are just wandering around. You're the fool. You're the one that is searching out for different things. And so the judge can come down, amen, very righteously and yet very consistently. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, that whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest one another, thou condemnest thyself, thou that judgest dost the same things. Amen. And he talks again to man, and then we drop down to verse 11, and it says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now, I think people... where we forget that God is not a respecter of persons. It's very important that we not only be reconciled one to another, but we're reconciled with God. We have the light judge that is behind all of us. But in this particular place, we have to come to the idea and understand that our God is no respecter of persons. And if we're ever going to be godly, we will not have that respect of persons. You may go through some things in your life to where you spend some time, better time with other people or whatever it might be, but when it comes to people, they're all to be respected. One of the things I share with people, and I don't know if they like it or not, but I say, you know, the Constitution offers us that we are all created equal. And we're not created equal on the basis that we're male or female, or gay or not gay, or LGBT, or whatever it might be that is out there. Amen. It's no right that we have to abuse them or disrespect them. Amen. And there is no respect to persons with God. If these people have changes, and I think we need to understand that these are positions that come into our life that are not always the best. I mean, we had people that could stink us out of here in the past. We had others that could talk so loud. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go on with church people. And it's very important as us, as a body of Christ, that we know how to present something to those that come in that would want to make them be like us. As we be like Paul, as he be like God, or Jesus our God. And all that works together, and it's things that we have to maintain. It's good, it's easy to be, you know, good for just a few minutes. Something just changes. And I want to tell you something. It's not good for apostolics to be, you know, apostolic people that are always out to judge and to be and ridicule or to not want to be around. I never forget, we had a young man that used to come to church. And somebody said, well, I'm done praying with him. And I said, how do you get done praying with somebody? You know, and sure enough, I'm glad this young man, very close to us, a man today, is in a church and working, actually he's in a home ministry, but an apostolic home ministry, I think that's where he still is. And he was a good young man and married a great lady, and they had some other issues within their relationship that kind of made it difficult. One thing I will have to say, that over the years, I think that our church has dealt as good as all of these what we talk about when we talk about reconciliation, because we know that God is no respecter of persons. And I thank the Lord that when I came into a body of Christ, that I came in at a time, it helped having a six-week revival, and I got saved in the fourth week of that revival. And it was a great help to know that I was going to be going out with Christians every night, some of them for 6 weeks. Now that's a revival. Amen. And that's a revival that can still happen in our world today. I'm not saying it's the only source of revival, but it can still be there. Amen. If we get our thinking in right and our relationship with each other right and our relationship with God that is right. Amen. It's amazing what God can do when there is a unification. Amen. In the church that's on the same page with the same God. Amen. Claiming the same name and knowing that the Word of God is true, because that is just where we are. I want you to just take Brother Titus and love him to death. If, you know, that becomes the vote of the people. I probably shouldn't say that ahead of time. But, you know, I mean, whoever it is, amen. And don't be so quickly. You realize you're not going to know him the first time. Direction, which most of us do when we step off the platform, amen, there's usually somebody waiting, and not always good. But he needs that comfort zone. He needs that idea, amen, of being there with us and us with him, amen, and doing everything that we can to be the very best to them and his him and his wife and those things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I forget, I'm teaching now and not preaching. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. I'm going to talk a little bit about the constraint of Christ. Amen. There's talked about no other judge, but now there is this thing that's going on, and people are moving, it would seem like, within the church, and they've had revival, but they've also had their troubles. Amen. But verse 11, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5. Knowing therefore the joy of the Lord, we knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, which we want to do, and I trust also you are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf. Amen. And you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. You might have somewhat to answer them which have glory in appearance and not in heart. Let's forget about what we look like and make sure that we get this appearance, amen, of God and approval of God, the glory of God into our lives, amen, and let the other goes, because that that's not in our heart should not just be there. For whether it be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether it be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. When it talks about constraining, it means about tying us up, almost like packaging us together in a very tight strips around it. It keeps us in place. And I always want God to be welcome to come into my life, amen, with that word constrainment, and know that, Lord, you're the one that can keep us in order. Most people today that are even Christians will say, you know, the world that we're living in today, amen, we all get out of order. We all have our problem. We all have our day. Amen. The problem of it is, it's just like earning character. You get it a dime at a time, and you lose it $10 at a time. You do something good and just some little error that should not be great because, not, I don't believe this because of the church, but I believe that people that are carnal, amen, and have problems with somebody else, they're the ones that become the bitter. And the one that has the little bit of problem becomes hurt. Amen. And then they go through this process. But we got to know that it is God that has put his constraint. It's not a restraint here, but a constraint that just has this definition that says to seize, to arrest. Amen. Figurative, to compel, perplex, afflict, preoccupy, constrain, hold, keep, press. Amen. A number of other words the same. Amen. But it's a word that keeps everything together. And it's only God that can do that. I don't know of a man that has the power to constrain, amen, that constraineth us. And that "eth" means that he continually does it. Amen. It doesn't stop. It doesn't quit going, but it keeps in that operation. And it's God that is doing that. But God's got to have a good, thorough focus of the church, amen, to be able to do those things in his name. For he died for all. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But he died for all, that we should live not henceforth, amen, unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Verse 6, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I like it when people get saved and don't even recommend to remember the man that was there before. I think most people do. I mean, most drunks know when they're drunk. Amen. And dopies know when they're doping. But when somebody comes in that has walked in a pretty, what we would call a denominational church, amen. I have amazed myself at this place where I work at, how many people really have what seems to be a relation and a hunger for God. And we want people like that here. Amen. And we want their obedience here. I love the word obedience. Somebody said obedience is for dogs. I said, well, I guess the Bible would say that one place. It talks about dogs not making it to heaven. Amen, and all kinds of interpretations on that, but on the same token, amen, they're a part of us from the very beginning. And it's obvious that babies, have you ever noticed this, that babies usually take up more time of your life, especially mine with all the diapers changing, all that process. But henceforth know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, and henceforth no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's that new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself. He is the reconciler. He is the judge that can hit the spot. He's the one that looks into your life and the people that you would bring into this church. Amen. Don't ever be afraid. Trust that God knows this person, just like I've seen happen many times before. God can read their lunch, amen, up one side and down another, amen, because he knows people before they ever come into this building. I always get happy when I see a new family come in or a new person come in, amen, and we need to get them in. I would tell you so that we maybe have been a little bit too lazy in the last 30 years. And that's all I can attribute it to. There are souls in sin which we fail to win just because we lack desire. You can be a soul winner. I've enjoyed this week. I've had a nice conversation with a guy who used to. Johnny K's and talked to a guy that had a nice looking motorcycle and had him sit down right next to me, and we had a nice little chat. Come to find out it was Robin's neighbor. And there's all kinds of opportunities that are there. Amen. And it's not always for the pastor. I think a pastor wants to have that kind of fun. Amen. But it's not just the pastor's business. Amen. It comes down to the church, to where we have to become a unified body of people, to where we have a conviction. When I want to use scriptures like this and read a lot of scriptures, I do it because I figure that people, when they hear it out of the Word of God, are going to want to do it. We don't do that every time. Brother Davis likes to say, Brother Davis, you do it every time. I says, I do it pretty good. And once in a while, I let the Cardinals take over. But you even try to turn that into, you know, things that you can just get close to somebody with God. Now, fishing, I don't understand. I want to be fishers of men because I could never catch anything when it came down to fishing. All right. Verse 20, is that where I am? To get to it, 19, make sure. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us a word of reconciliation. God is not worried about judging them. He's worried about saving them, or getting them saved through his people. Hallelujah. And we all have done those trespasses things. Now we are members, and we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech us by you, amen, or you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is our path. We get a free course. Amen. We don't have to suffer. We don't have to shed our blood. Amen. All we have to do is learn to love the people that God loved and love the God that loved them in a way to where he brings into our heart a liveliness and a goodness. Amen. Of people. Amen. I will always agree with G.T. Haywood, old-time black preacher that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And he sang that at a time when the Pentecostal experience was on the breakout. Amen. And I'm sure he sang it everywhere he went. I heard it many times as a young man, and this guy's in recording, and it's just good. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech us, you by us, to pray for Christ's stead, to be reconciled to God. He is made in the sin. But let me ask you this. What is the whole position of an ambassador? It's not usually to just stay at home. It usually involves going away from, I want to compare them strictly to our missionaries, but, well, because they have more money and probably travel back and forth more often, but they work in a place called an emissary, and that has to be bad, you know. But with all the dangers that are around them, we've lost people amen, that were some of our ambassadors that have gone to serve. And we've not only lost those that are ambassadors in this life, but we've lost people that were serving our God. Somebody that we knew. Somebody that maybe, well, we walked with somewhere within our life. And whether by illness or by somebody just being taken advantage of, we know that that is there. Amen. And these people need to live for God and just love Him and care about Him in that way. Porter Till. So anyway, with this constraint, amen, God wants to bring us into control and keep us in control, and that we can continue in our walk with God without so many uprisings, I will use that term, and those other things that come to afflict us and concern themselves with us, and get to the place to where we know that God wants to use you. You need to know on the individual basis that God doesn't need to use your neighbor or your husband or your children, that God needs to use you. It's going to be very important. I think it's the most important thing of the last day that we realize, I know something's going to happen. And I'm not going to say it's going to be good as far as what we do in the world, but I think that God is going to do tremendous things and pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, even in the last days, with a greater amount than ever before. Amen. And He wants to come through you. Turn around, point your finger at your neighbor and say, He wants to use you.